Orleans, New Orleans, and the River Region.
This is your time.
This is our team.
We smell greatness. We finished strong.
Time to play the game.
Buckle up. It's showtime.
New Orleans. It's game time. With Gus Kattengill and John 4K. To get in the action, call 800-998-1003 or through social media at ESPN Radio NOLA.
Lay it on the line until the final whistle blows.
G-Cat, 4K, it's game time.
Let's get it on!
It is another Thursday, so another week of college football in the NFL. Get ready to kick off. Gus Kattengill, John 4K, as we do each and every Thursday. We are on the North Shore in Slidell, the Dock Restaurant, 118 Harborview Court in Slidell. Real easy. You know how to get there, John. And on a day like today, You might be able to actually see it from the Twin Spans. It is gorgeous. Little different than last Thursday. Rain, dark and gloomy. Not today. Not really any clouds in the sky, which means if you just go just to the left on the deck here or around where the volleyball courts are, you'll be able to see the sunset right into the lake. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's a great, great location. I was talking to our guest here in a second, Lexi, about a great place to kind of just wind down the day and relax. Because, you know, tomorrow's the weekend. I mean, you wake up on Friday, it feels differently than waking up any other day of the week. And it's just a great way to kind of just wind down and get, you know, at least catch a quarter in or so of the game, have a little dinner, and just relax.
Well, the main thing about it is the beauty of it out here. You got water, sunset, food, beverages, you and I.
I was going to say, don't forget the beauty.
Don't forget the beauty
in the corner,
beauty and the beast sitting out here.
Yeah.
Lexi, not talking about you, no. The beauty here and the beast there.
I am the beast.
And overall, though, man, why wouldn't you want to come sit out here? I drove in from the coast. I've been here all day doing my TV show there. So I came over today, and I'm like, man, I just hope it is as nice as it is over here. So when we get over here, that when I get here to Slidell, it's not raining like it was. And it's just a beautiful setup. I'm looking forward to this two-hour show. We've got a big game on tonight, the New England Patriots against the Colts. Come on out, grab you some meal, sit down, have some beverages, enjoy the show, and listen to us.
Yeah, lots of tasty dishes as well, which Lexi's going to help describe to you and tell us about, plus a lot of deals. And I just can't wait, Lexi, until maybe about another week or so. The cool fronts are coming. I looked. You can do the daily thing on the Weather Channel app. I scrolled twice, and it was a weekend in which I saw 70s for a high. So it's coming at some point. But that's going to be the toughest decision. I don't know where to sit deck-wise or over there facing the Twin Spans. Where do we do the show outside? Where would you sit?
I would sit closer to the water on the outside, because right now there is no shade over it, but right now where we're at in this time, it's completely covered, so don't have sun in your eyes.
It is perfect. Yeah. It really honestly is. And it's an outlet, or kind of like it's the only way, the only access for all the people in the islands here to get out to the lake. So you'll start seeing the boats here. People start getting home right around now. They'll go change and then grab some, then boom, we'll start seeing boats all around here, right?
Right, absolutely.
How packed is this on the weekends?
It's pretty packed during the weekends. You know, we have our live bands Friday, Saturday, Sunday from 4 to 9, so we get pretty busy.
One of the things, obviously, that aside from the view and the environment, too, is it kind of just looks like a festive and bright environment to just kind of relax and party. It's almost like, hey, meet your neighbors or meet your friends, and just what you've seen, even when we sit here, people just stop by on their boats, come have a beverage real quick, and then, you know, go on their way. It just kind of seems like a little gathering place.
Right, absolutely. You know, birthday parties, if people come here for birthday parties, all sorts of events, you know.
All right, well, John and I are tight in the wallet, so specials. What are the specials that folks enjoy on Thursday?
So on Thursday, we have our main special, which is our Oyster Thursday. It's 12 for 12 oysters. Mm-hmm. That's char-grilled and Rockefeller.
Nice. So two choices, and we can do that as well.
And you still have ladies' night?
And we still have ladies' night, which is $2 domestic beers, wines, and well drinks, and that's any well drink.
There you go.
So any guy out there who's single and looking for a date, you know, something of that nature, come on by here. But they're going to have to vet you before you hook up with these girls and buy them some cocktails. You can look. You can bring $10 here and treat a young lady for a few cocktails.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly.
And have money left over. And have money left over.
Have some money. Make yourself feel like you're a big man, huh? Obviously, what we try to do and tie in every week when the NFL games are going on. Is something that's unique or even that you kind of think to that city pertaining to it. And I'm rambling here, but last week Saints played at New York, so we had $5 Manhattans, right?
Right.
I was thinking of a Manhattan drink. This week, I don't know what took me so long. I'm texting back and forth with Art. I'm like, what do we do to this week, right? So it's Indianapolis at New England, and I had to go to the Graph, voice of the Tulane Green Wave. I'm like, dude, I can't think of anything. Dude, Long Island iced tea. So there you go.
That's so $5 Long Island iced teas. We have Renee behind the bar, and she makes a great Long Island iced tea.
What makes a good Long Island iced tea? The right mix?
I think it's the right mix, because everybody uses different mixers.
Right?
Yeah.
I got a question. I went to geography class once or twice in high school. Isn't Long Island in New York?
Yeah, the island is called Long Island, but we're talking about tea. Boston,
okay.
Boston tea.
Oh, the
party.
Boston tea.
Yeah,
okay,
so
the Boston tea party.
Iced teas, right?
Okay.
We have iced teas.
All
right.
So basically, you're using
it's a
on a
iced tea.
Okay.
Yes, it's
okay.
Spiked.
All right, because I like when you're saying Long Island iced tea, I'm thinking. I thought the Patriots played in Boston or, you know, in something
like
that.
They're known for the tea party.
The tea party, yep.
See
right.
How we got
okay.
There?
Well, you know. You know, just put, sell tea.
See, I was trying to think. Can you think, Lexi, of anything in Washington, D.C., Congress?
Ooh, I don't want to bring up anything. I don't want to bring nothing up with Washington.
No,
right
no, but that's what I'm saying. I couldn't think because, like, the Redskins are in
town. We don't need no protesters
so,
coming over here.
I was trying to think of something, like, from that city.
Right.
I couldn't have anything. And, I mean, you could do, like, Gator Bites or something like that to do with LSU in Florida. I really can't think of a cocktail that's. I mean, like, mojitos are, like, South Florida.
Yeah.
That's, like, Miami. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Gainesville really isn't known for a beverage.
No. Well, you got to, what you need to do then is you need to make up, just make up something that's kind of involved, I guess, with the state or you know, their history of whatever their, you know, their state is about and something because, you can sit here and have, you know, 10, 12 different name drinks. It could be anything. And you just make something up and just say, yeah, come on in.
I tried for hours to think of something for Washington. We got someone playing tonight.
You know?
I can't think of anything that has to do with D.C. or politics or the nation's. Is there a drink like a George Washington or something? You know? I mean,
that's true. Yeah. Let's get the George Washington drink. You know?
I guess something apple. I mean, now we're really like Kevin Bacon type stuff. Well, George Washington, I don't know, the apple tree or something. I don't know. Cider.
You can do anything. You can figure it out. You just got to, you know, put your mind
There's
to
gotta
it.
There's got to be some
In your case, you need to get some help. You know, let somebody
No, I did. I was, I'm, I am enlisting help. But anyway, I don't know. Give me one or two dishes, Lexi, that the Doc's really known for.
So definitely my main dish that I sell the most, I sell it probably 3 times to 4 times a day or more, it's the catfish paunch strain.
Really?
Yes.
I think it's
that one
I had
last
week.
That's right.
Yep.
And it's not like a little piece or two.
No.
No, it's some nuggets.
Huge.
It's a fish.
That's the best way I can describe it.
It's
a foot size.
It's not a fillet.
Yeah.
It's like a fish.
Yeah. It's
exactly.
Huge. It's huge.
Very good helping size. It's catfish. It's fried catfish over mashed potatoes, green beans, and it has this amazing cheese sauce that they make fresh every day.
It is solid. It is solid. Mm-hmm. I mean, it took a while to try to finish that. What else?
So we also have our seafood nachos, which is another favorite. It has that same nacho cheese that they make fresh every day, and it comes with crawfish, shrimp, and then, you know, just tomatoes and peppers. The banana peppers.
Nice.
You got cheese on it, too.
Right. Cheese on it. And then the specialty is the wonton crackers.
Ooh,
fried wontons. Again, once made fresh every day.
Exactly.
Fried every day.
No, it's awesome.
We've had – well, I haven't had a catfish.
You went pasta.
I went pasta. Chicken pasta. I'm going to tell you. I'm not a big man on the linguine, I guess it was, that you had. I'm more of an angel hair guy. But that pasta was to die for. The chicken was good. The pasta cream sauce was – Alfredo sauce was really good, so I'm not complaining. I'm not a big seafood guy. I'm not going to order. Like, I'll eat it if it's in. Like I did, we ate the nachos. First day I was here, I had a little bit of it. That part, but like just to sit down and eat a catfish. I'm not a big catfish guy, but I watched this plate, and you ain't kidding. It's the size of a foot. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's huge. It's huge. And
so you got a pretty good menu.
I'm gonna tell you one thing that's pretty doggone good. I'm not a big hush puppy guy.
You love the hush puppies.
But
you were addicted to the hush puppies.
The hush puppies here, I was over there stealing the little hush puppies. But I was
like, look over there, Ned. Look at the score, and there he is stealing hush puppies.
I was snatching them as quick as you turn your head because I'll say I've been to some other places and tried, but boy, oh boy, they got good hush puppies here. So I've taken a couple of orders home sometimes
with
me. Yes,
you do take some hush puppies.
Yeah, that little hour ride home, what a little 30-minute ride home for me. I got to eat me some hush puppies.
That's crazy.
So, Lexi, obviously every Thursday, as we said, ladies' night, they got the 12 oysters for $12.
Yeah.
And what kind? There are two kinds?
Char grilled and Rockefeller.
And the ladies' specials is?
$2 domestic beers, wines, and well drinks.
That's every Thursday.
That's every Thursday and Friday.
I thought it was just because we were here. Oh, and Friday.
And Friday.
And Friday.
Whoa. Friday night as well, you know. Get off Friday work and come night. Have your $2 drink.
There you go. $10, fellas. No, I'm kidding.
There you go.
Man, you're better.
Baby, if you got a $20 bill in your hand, man, you could have a two night. You could have two different people in two nights.
You know what? On that note, thank you, Lexi. Appreciate your time.
No problem.
Thank you.
Man. Lexi, we got two Lexis. Renee behind the bar as well. So step on by and it'll take care of you.
We got a new girl here that we haven't met yet, and we'll get to her before the show's over. And she'll be over here talking about, hamburger steaks and everything else they got, and no telling what other kind of special.
They definitely have a ton of items on the menu. So as we said, it's real easy to get here. On your way to the North Shore, take the Highway 11 exit bridge, right? So before you cross the Twin Spans, it's exit 254. Look to your right. You're going to come to a stop sign. Take a left, right? Because if you take a right, you're going back towards Michoud. Take a left. You're going to cross the lake on the little bridge right after the bridge. Put the blinker on and start taking your right. You're going to go right into that street, follow it all the way. I don't know if you noticed, I think they repainted a boat over there.
Mm-hmm.
Big, bright, and yellow.
Yeah,
you can't miss it.
Yeah,
when you see the boat,
take a left.
That's, you know, gone ashore.
That's a sign.
That's it. Take a left, and it's not even a block on your right. You'll see the volleyball courts, and you'll see us, the ESPN banner. I promise you, once you make it out here, it's just
the atmosphere, relaxation.
I could hear right after, our afternoon remote over there in Metairie. And John, I honestly get here early enough because of it. I love sitting out there on the dock for a good half hour, 40 minutes and work on stuff on the weekend, work on the show tonight, and just honestly like to have 15, 20 minutes to, I watch the boats, I listen to the cars and the Twins fan.
Sit out
it
there.
Is. It totally. It winds me down a bit.
You need to have a brew in one hand, a like nice Cuban cigar in the other hand, and chill back until the show starts.
Well, I took a couple pictures from today. So if you go to our Facebook page, if you go to our Twitter handle, when you go to mine at GCAT_17 or me on Facebook, you'll see the pictures that we took from just a little bit ago. Kind of fun show lined up, John. We got a big game in Gainesville and LSU in Florida. When we come back next segment, we'll hear from both coaches, their little tidbits. The Saints went back to work today. So you have a Monday night game that, hard to believe, just 4 weeks ago we're talking about, you know, what would this team, would you like to be at the bye? And then they just lost to Tampa and didn't look very good defensively. And you're like, boy, I'll take 3-2. You know, 2-3 seemed likely because I gave a loss at Atlanta. You never knew how else they could kind of get into. You could have been 0-3.
Yep.
Honestly, right?
Well, yeah.
You could have been 0-3.
Yeah. Truthfully, yeah.
And you're having you have a chance at 3-1 to go 4-1 into the bye week, which is what you and I said weeks ago, draft night. That's what you wanted. You see that tail end of the schedule coming. The next quarter of games include the Rams, which are coming into town. So,
Philadelphia.
Yep. Well, you got Baltimore.
Yep.
You got the Rams. On the road.
Minnesota
on the road. Rams are at home. Minnesota on the road. Ravens on the road. And then you come back and, it'll be fun.
We don't hit the conference games, division games, until at the end of the year, basically. So, you know, you got to take care of those because you got to figure, even if we won all of our division games right now, it would be 7 wins.
That's what I meant. It's basically the AFC North here, essentially.
Right.
So the next quarter of the season, John, 3 of 4 on the road. It's the Ravens, Vikings, Rams, and Bengals at Baltimore, at Minnesota, at Cincinnati, the only home game. So after Monday night, the next time you get to go to the Dome is November 4th.
Mm.
Just think of that. That's how far away it is. So after Monday, November 4th will be the next Saints home game. So it'll be an important quarter there. I'm not being greedy.
Mm-hmm.
I think 2-2, I'm happy. So we'll talk a little bit about this.
Look, if you can split four games and split it, make it 2-2, and regroup as long as you can do that. But the thing we also got to remember is we need some of them other guys that's in our division. They need to lose too. So
we're going to address that coming up later in this hour. What do you think is the toughest competition right now for the Saints in the South?
And, yeah.
Okay,
I mean,
so I'll ask you that. Right, because there's a game in Atlanta, in Pittsburgh, teams that have been disappointing.
Right, and Arthur Blank came out and pretty much said he's very unhappy that we are 1-3, and he's trying to cover his butt by saying, oh, yeah, we have a bunch of injuries on defense and everything. But
they do, but at the same time.
But come on.
They've lost two games in the last minute or, in the case against Cincinnati, last 10 seconds of the game.
Right, so, and there's some things that the offense isn't doing well enough for them to keep, you know, to keep the defense off the field. And look, my take is this. When you're playing in the NFL, you got to have backups. Guys are going to go down. You can't sit there and tell me you lose a Jones and you lose two safeties that's going to make a determining factor.
Right.
You can lose all the safeties you want. The cornerbacks is what kills you. It ain't the safeties. And one linebacker? Okay, I can get Jones. You can make up for him.
Right.
But don't give me this. Oh, I lost my safety. You can find safeties anywhere. You could have went out and got Eric Reed. You could have went. You can get safety. You lose cornerbacks, you're in big trouble. So don't give me that excuse. Atlanta, your defensive front hasn't done what it's supposed to have done.
Deion Jones was a big loss.
Yes, he is. I agree, but he's not a one-man team now. You need help up front. You need the defensive front to be able to do some things, and they didn't do that. You know, if I remember when playing against the Saints, they didn't get to Drew Brees.
Yeah.
I think maybe once if they did, but they didn't get to him.
Yeah, for the
flip
most
side
part,
of it.
Well, again, when you're giving up the points that they're giving up, that means that quarterbacks have
so
Andy Dalton.
Something's got two teams that were pretty much picked off Hunt play each other, and they're both 1-3.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, we're just getting started. It's John Forcade. I'm Gus Cattingill. It's game time here on ESPN New Orleans. 6 to 8, we're here at the dock each and every Thursday. As you said, it's ladies' night, $2 drinks. Also, the oyster special, 12 of them for $12, char-grilled and Rockefeller as well. And since the game is in New England, we're going with Long Island Iced Tea. Now that John understands.
Emphasize on the tea.
Why are we going there with the Long Island Iced Tea? That's $5. So every week we'll have a special dealing with one of the games that's playing on Thursday night. We'll preview those. We'll hear from head coach Sean Payton. But up next, what Coach Mullen and Coach O have to say each other about each other.
Big game.
About each team's playing as well. 800-998-1003 on ESPN Radio Nola. If you want to get involved in a conversation, I'll come on by and hang out. We're here at 8 o'clock. It's the Dock in Slidell, 118 Harborview Court in Slidell on ESPN New Orleans.
Welcome back to Game Time on 100.3 ESPN New Orleans. To get in the game, give us a buzz at 800-998-1003. Now, back to G-Cat and John Forque.
Must be game time.
John, one of the games we'll also talk about in college football, you can see on ESPN there previewing Texas and Oklahoma. Always fun, right, when they have that fair there in the Cotton Bowl and play it. That kind of tradition in those games. I love that. And look, in this year, that game's going to be fun to check out too as well. Those are rivalries that obviously when those programs do well and play well, they take on added incentive. But those two schools, whenever they play, it's always going to be important.
Right. That's the big thing. It's been really bad in the last, three or four years, I would say. Maybe even longer. Oklahoma's really dominated it. It looks like Tom Herndon has turned it around a little bit. They ranked two ranked teams. I got them on our pick list a little later on today. We'll go through that. But yeah, that's you know, the Red River. I could never understand why would you give up a home game, and because basically I'm looking at this Oklahoma. That's never a home game for you. You're playing in Dallas, and you call it
it's a road game.
Your road game. You know, how are you, that's like Georgia and Florida.
Right.
The cocktail. You're playing in Jacksonville. Well,
right.
That ain't good for you for the home game.
Right.
Unless they got a stadium right on the state line, that's the difference. But Jacksonville's a little bit closer. But it's going to be a good game. You know, the LSU-Florida game is going to be
What was the Egg Bowl like for you?
Man, it was, that was our big championship. That was our big bowl game because we weren't very good. But anytime you play your rival, that's the big key to it. These two guys should play at the end of the year, but because of conference play and stuff of that nature, can't do that. But with us, the Egg Bowl, man, you talk about some hatred and it's mouthing off for a week and then, letting it all out, in that case, the end of the game, the last game of the season. I scored the winning touchdown in my senior year in the Egg Bowl, last 2 seconds of my playing career. That was it. I scored a touchdown. I ain't never played college football ever again. I go out as a guy who scores the winning touchdown to end his career.
There you go.
And then, the next year after, my brother Keith intercepts a pass. I came back to watch him, and he intercepted a pass against Mississippi State in the Egg Bowl his senior year for the only points Ole Miss game.
I remember, man, I want to remember. Why am I thinking it couldn't have been a New Year's Eve? Must have been another bowl game. But I thought it was maybe the Egg Bowl. But Deuce, it was the year before the Saints drafted him. And Deuce went bananas.
Oh, he went nuts in it. He tore it up.
And I just remember that game of him going bananas in that game.
It's funny because, we played the Egg Bowl in Jackson, Mississippi. That's sort of like they come down.
Right.
And they could, but it's in the state of Mississippi. It's played in a neutral spot
there. Big stadium.
So it was a bigger stadium. But now it's changed because everybody's stadium's now gotten bigger. It's bigger. Oxford Stadium's bigger than Jackson. So is Mississippi State.
Right.
And it's still a cow pig down, cow farm. nobody wants to go to Starkville. But anytime you get those kind of rivalries and they got a rivalry. And like LSU has got Georgia, Florida, Ole Miss, Alabama, Mississippi State. Give me the easy game. Well, they just played the easy game. But give me the easy games from here on out for those poor guys.
Well, no doubt about it. It is one of the tougher schedules. Just why it's a conversation we've had this week alone. Jordan, our intern, was bringing up, hey, I'll take them over Ohio State because show me what Ohio State's playing and stuff. I kind of counter-argue that and said, look, Ohio State, man, those two wins on the road.
He'll
Penn
take
State,
who
TCO,
over Ohio State?
LSU. And I'm like,
Is he?
Again, so if you want to, add to that argument on either side, feel free. 800-998-1003. Here's Coach Dan Mullen and Coach O on each other, about ready to face off on Saturday.
Obviously, you know how this league is. We had two straight road games, one over a huge rival, the second one over a top 20 team. And you win those two, you get rewarded by playing the top five team in the country at home in LSU coming in here. So, league always gets tougher from one week to the next, but that's playing in the Southeastern Conference.
I give all the credit to Coach Ensminger and the development of Joe Burrows. I think Joe is a quarterback that's very smart. You saw the way he can run the football. Obviously, We would love to run them a little bit more, but we only have two quarterbacks, so we need to be careful. So all those things are coming into play, but we're going to be challenged more than we've ever been challenged this week by the Florida defense.
They have excellent guys that can play man coverage, you know, and, you know, one of the things for our guys coming in, our guys had a lot of good work against it. So when you look at, you know, you go through training camp, you have CJ and Marco, and you're going against them every single day of practice. Our guys have gone against some great corners. So, but it is, I think anytime you can sit out there and you can just play, man, hey, I'm going to take cover you, I'm going to cover you, allows you to do more with your chess pieces with everybody else.
We need to improve on the turnover ratio, obviously. The two turnovers on offense were in the red zone, unlike us on defense. They ran the ball for 150 yards. We have to work on our fits. We have to work on our play up front, and we need a better pass rush. On to the Florida Gators, obviously a great challenge for our football team to go on the road again to the Swamp. Our guys are looking forward to this challenge. This is a big game for the LSU Tigers, and I know it's a big game for the Florida Gators.
Big challenge for us coming back home. I'm excited. You know, obviously, this is always a big game. Florida LSU is always a big game.
Well, there you go. So, John, what we've learned is it's a big challenge for both teams going into this game. But, no, I think one of the things that you do see, John, more than anything, is this is a situation where I think for both teams, it could be one of those games that can help determine and shape what the rest of the year is going to be, right? I mean, obviously not that next week's game against Georgia isn't going to be big already for LSU. And you can not win this game and still have a shot. I mean, look, when you have Bama and Georgia mm-hmm. still to come, you have a shot at the playoff whether or not you lose this Saturday or not. If you win, you're looking at top five matchup probably, right?
I mean, right.
Coming into that Saturday, both teams being undefeated, et cetera. I don't know. I think what I saw at Auburn gives me confidence that I think LSU can go into Gainesville and play a good football game. What about you? What do you take out of the 5-0 start for LSU?
I take out that they still went in by defense. You know, Ole Miss is not a very good football club. I mean, let's be honest.
Right.
Ole Miss could do some damage offensively, but from an overall standpoint, that's a bad football team. And LSU took it to them. And I'm not going to take anything away from LSU. I like Joe Burrow. I think he does a fantastic job of running their offense. It's still what they got left to go through. I mean, Florida, Georgia, Mississippi State, Alabama. It don't get any easier. A&M at the end of the year. So let's be honest about this right now. They have to win out, or maybe one loss can get them to the championship. All depends what Alabama does, and we'll
right.
go through that. But they're really a good football club. You know, I like them in this weekend's game because they got a good defense and a good offense versus one Florida's got a good defense. Their offense is very suspect.
So you don't buy Felipe Franks?
No way.
Well, the reason I'm saying that is, again, you look at statistics
no.
and you look at what they have. Felipe Franks, 961 yards of offense, 12 touchdowns, 3 interceptions on the season. Joe Burrow, I made this argument in case today when I spoke with Chris Blair early on our show, voice of the Tigers, I said, I think a lot of times media people look at stats
right.
and try
to,
and a lot of times it does. It gives you the picture, right? I mean, it does. I mean, Tua from Alabama.
Well, you have to look at
it. Hasn't played in the fourth quarter. And, you
right,
know,
but you have to play. You have to also recognize who you play against when you
right.
talk about stats. And
right.
that's the big key with people.
To me, it's the in and out of the huddle, the tempo, the pace, the ups and downs that you're going to have in a game. Sometimes you're going to have good drives, John. Sometimes you're not going to have good drives. How do you respond? How do you play better in that? And, you know, in some of those games after Auburn, right, La Tech made it close. Ole Miss had a little run there as well. And you saw LSU respond immediately. And more importantly, it's the zero in the stat box to me that gives me the nod on Burrow as to why I have trust in him going into Florida, right? Zero interceptions.
Right.
I mean, that because that tells me he's not forcing. He's not letting that moment get to you. Played quarterback. You know what I'm talking about, right? I mean, I'm a quarterback player on a video game, and I feel like sometimes when the other team scores, maybe I take a chance to try to do that. Quarterbacks maybe sometimes tend to press, take chances, let the game kind of maybe feel get to them.
I don't ever get that sense when I see him.
Well, let me go back to Felipe. He's 12-3, 12 to a touchdown, 3 intercept. That's still pretty good ratio.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Who they play, that's what counts. Same thing with Bartles. I mean, look, not to throw a pick. Sometimes you get balls tipped. Sometimes the receiver's off their hand. None of that's happened. Now, I don't know how Felipe's 3 interceptions came about, but for a guy, what I was impressed with watching him in the Ole Miss game, he was the same on every play. I didn't see no difference in him when he got to the line of scrimmage and ran a play, called a play, whatever. He didn't panic. He wasn't, you know, rushing himself. He took what was there for them. They call, you know, the ideal plays for him.
Right.
And so with all that being said, he's done what they have asked him to do. Yes, you know, people like, well, he's not a game man. If they want to call me a game manager and I'm
winning,
winning football games.
Exactly right.
And I don't throw picks and I don't do the wrong thing. Call me a game manager.
Isn't that what you're supposed to do though? In the quarterback and conductor. I mean, when you get what I'm getting at, like Drew Brees. Why wouldn't you say he is a game manager in this aspect? You are managing the game.
Correct.
The tempo, in and out of understanding the coverages, knowing when you snap the ball at the play clock, right? There's some times when you have a lead. He's managing all of that. I mean, you have to be a good game manager to be a good winning quarterback.
Totally agree. Look, I'm going to bring up another young man who's a quarterback. I watched my nephew play,
right,
and I say the same thing. You know, he's a game manager. He had a couple of picks the other night. It wasn't his fault, but he took credit for it. He says, my fault. I got to play better. I got to wait till the second. But I watch him play, and I watch Barr. I said, man, these two guys kind of play alike. They don't make mistakes. The team is behind them. And that's the whole key. If you're a game manager and you're managing the game right, if it's a Drew Brees or if it's a Joe Flacco, they give him grief. He's played well this season. And then you get the ones that, we won't get into Jameis Winston style guys or players who just wing it and hope it in a prayer and just do things like that nature. A Cam Newton type guy. He's not a game manager. I think Drew Brees and certain guys. And Burrows can fit in that category. Florida, we saw that in the last few years. They haven't had an offense in a few. It's just Tim Tebow left. You know, a quarterback that run that offense.
Right.
And so we shall see, but I don't think Felipe's set for them. I think they're going to have trouble offensively. I like LSU in this game. I just think LSU's defense. The only thing that gets me, though, is you're on the road. Now, I don't think they're looking ahead because you can't look ahead. It'd be different if you're playing, Southern Illinois.
Right.
And you're looking ahead for Georgia. But you don't have that no more. You can't look ahead anymore. Because let me tell you why. Florida game, you look ahead, you got Georgia. I don't know who they play at that, but they can play Mississippi State. You're looking at, you can't look ahead. So you can't, because why? You're the SEC. There's no looking ahead week in and week out in the SEC. You got to play that game. And I think Coach O is going to get these guys fired up to go back down there. You know, remember what happened with the Hurricane Bowl, the hurricane issue, and they had to go back to back.
Yeah.
And LSU's remembering all that.
Not just that. Remember, you had media go after one another.
Right, back and
forth.
You
had the ADs go back and forth from one another. But I do think it's a rivalry from this standpoint. And look, and I think if you're LSU, the thing that's kind of stood out to me is the Burrow situation of feeling of what you saw at the end of the Miami game, where it's like, hey, people are saying we're going to win 5 or 6 games. They don't know what they're talking about. Brissett coming off of the field against Auburn saying, all those doubters were coming for you. So it's a little bit of a confidence and swagger to this team that I think helps because, as you mentioned, everyone's talking Georgia. But here's Florida sitting there. You better come to play. Even though you've won twice, the last two times you've been there, 3 points, 2014, 30-27, and then last year, 17-16, a one-point game. So when you look at it, it could be close. Now, you go in there and you win 31-12, 31-13, something like that. That's impressive. And then all of a sudden now.
Right.
To me, I guess this is the best way I can describe it because I'm rambling here. If you want to be serious about us taking you serious and putting you in elite status, which is where I put Ohio State.
There's no doubt.
This is why I'm like, they're not there yet. You want me to start thinking you're a contender, you go take care of business in Florida. I'm not talking about a win or two. Like a point or two.
Right.
You take care of them. And come out impressive?
Well, when you get into a point of you want to compare teams, LSU, you can't compare LSU and Ohio State yet. Give me 3 more weeks, see where they're at then. Now you can compare them.
Right.
But you can't really say, oh, you know, I think LSU's better than Ohio State, or I think LSU's better than Oklahoma, or I think they're better than Clemson. Everybody's going to have their little issues. Clemson had one last week, you know, almost lost the game because they had a quarterback injury, and they put the next guy in. Guess what he does? He tears it up. He goes in and does a good job and wins the game for them. Comparing teams is not, it's too early in the season. LSU hadn't even got the meat of the schedule yet. Same thing, Ohio State come from, they should have lost to Penn State. Penn State lost that game. Ohio State did not win it. Penn State lost it. So with all that being said, I don't think LSU cares one bit about Ohio State. They know, hey, we got to take a bet. We know what we have to do here. We got to either win the West without a loss, or win the West with a loss, but beating the team, you know, that ties us with a loss, you know, something of that nature, to get to that SEC championship. Then we got to get through that to be able to go. And as we go on here after this, I want to ask you a question. Uh-huh. We're on a college, talk about these two guys here. I want to bring this up to you. Let me just ask you, what's your take on this? Could possibly be. Let's say Notre Dame goes undefeated. Clemson goes undefeated.
Yep.
Alabama goes undefeated.
Yep.
Oklahoma undefeated.
Oh.
And Ohio State goes undefeated. You got five teams fighting for one spot. You know doggone well who they're going to put in there. Notre Dame, for sure, in the top four. They don't care. They want Notre Dame.
Fan right. base, money,
TV ratings. Somebody in that five, it could be, a, you know, they. I don't know who else could. That's all undefeated team. What do you do with five clubs sitting there with no losses?
Yeah.
Who gets eliminated? I'm going to tell you, if I had to pick this right now, if I had to go through all this, I'm sorry, Clemson, but your ACC is very weak. I think Oklahoma is, they play some really good ball teams. Ohio State with Big Ten, SEC, and Notre Dame. Clemson, you're sitting home, son. So,
Not many teams.
You think they're going to be some, you know?
Yeah.
If they're all undefeated. And then let's just say UCF goes undefeated.
Well, you just want to throw everything into the wrench there. That's John Forcade, Gus Cattingill with you. We're live at the dock as we are each and every Thursday. Stop on by. The specials are simple. Every Thursday, you can get 12 oysters for $12, char-grilled or Rockefeller. The ladies drink for $2, $2 drinks for y'all. And on Friday, don't forget. But tonight, stop on by and have some fun. On Friday, ladies' night as well, $2 drinks for there. And don't forget, delicious dishes like the seafood nachos, the catfish poncho train, and you got football coming up, right? College football is about to get underway. Tulsa and Houston's going to be on ESPN. And then at 7:25, you'll have Indianapolis at New England to celebrate the game in New England. I'd explain it to John, but it's $5 Long Island iced teas. So we're always going to pick a drink for the game that we're seeing on Thursday Night Football. We're going with the Long Island iced tea. It's
emphasis on tea.
On ESPN New Orleans.
Right now, 5-quart jugs of Napa Full Synthetic Motor Oil are only $18.99. It protects your engine and our troops. Yep, with each purchase of Napa Full Synthetic for $18.99, a portion goes to the Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
General States Pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state local taxes or recycling fees. Offer ends 10/31/18.
Rogers Parts. Nationally known, locally owned. Lockwood, Morgan City, Libertyville, LaRose, and Galliano.
If pests are pestering you, call the experts at Terminix. They'll rid your home or business of disease-carrying rats, mice, roaches, spiders, even crazy ants. Call your local pest control experts at Terminix for a free inspection. Terminix also offers home insulation. In LaRose, call 693-3152. That's 693-3152. 693-3152. Terminix. Power over pests.
Megan here with Vision Communications. As you may have heard, we recently increased the speed of our internet service. Vision offers 5 levels of service so you can match the speed and value right for your family. Now's a good time to review your internet service. Most people are using more and more bandwidth and finding that upgrading really makes a difference. Give us a call at 798-7956 to get more speed for your internet experience. Vision Communications, dedicated to bringing you a better vision and faster internet.
Hi, I'm Mike Kelly. I would be honored to have your vote in the Port Commission election.
My lifelong dedication to service in South Lafourche and my experience in marine, banking, and real estate make me uniquely qualified for CDH and the Port Commission. Paid for by Charles Mike Kelly.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
When the veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are they really?
I'm really not so good, but are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. Learn more at veteranscrisisline.net.
Join us for varsity football coverage, 6:30 pregame and 7 o'clock kickoff. Friday, October 5th, South Lafourche travels to Assumption. Our broadcast is sponsored by Jimmy T. Jim LaFont, candidate for Greater Lafourche Port Commission Seat C, Joe Septic Contractors, Advanced Eye Institute, Pipeline Construction and Maintenance, Vision Communications, and Francis Bruce, candidate for Greater Lafourche Port Commission Seat H. Friday night football on 100.3 FM and 1600 AM KLEB.
You're in the game with Gus Kattengill and John Forcade on 100.3 ESPN New Orleans. Shoot us a tweet at ESPN Radio NOLA.
Must be game time.
Welcome back. It is game time. John Forcade, Gus Kattengill with you. Quickly, as we get closer to the top of the hour and get to, we're going to turn our attention obviously to the NFL. But Tulane has a big game against Cincinnati.
Right, coming off a big win.
Over the next 5 minutes here before we get to the next break, let's touch on the Wave and let's touch on the Colonels, since obviously we're the home for Nicol State here, and obviously your nephew plays quarterback there. For Tulane, biggest win probably in a Willie Fritz era, going and beat a team that's beaten them 11 times, and they go and do that. And look, there's a big game going on in Slidell right now. Ponchatoula and Slidell playing a little bit of football. Ken Berthelot's going to join us tomorrow on the Sports Hangover. He's calling the game for CST. But it's two players, one that's highly recruited going to LSU and one that's going, a running back from Ponchatoula that's going to Tulane. So I think it's important for the Wave, when people are saying you're a bowl team, when people are saying you have the talent to go do that, you got to back that up. That was a season almost ending game if you would have got smoked there at home on ESPN 2. Now, you're on the road facing Cincinnati.
Who's a good football club.
They're 5-0, John.
Right, they are. And they came back. They were down big time last week. Came back and won that football game. You know who's coaching them, right? The old Ohio State coach, Finkel.
But don't you agree, if you want to be the program that turns it around, you want to be a winning program, you want to be a bowling team, dude, you got to get away from the every week, well, this is a tough game, or I don't know if we can win. At some point in time, you have to win in your conference. There's only so many non-conference games that you're going to play.
And my take is this, you got to put some back-to-back-back game wins. You got to win this. You can't spot win here. Because in this scenario, and look, I don't know what Memphis brought to the table. You know, they all saw, and I had a good friend, Jeff Walker, who played with the Saints, played for Memphis.
Right.
Prior to the game, we started chatting, and he said, man, they're highly talked about, but they're not the Memphis team when Paxton Link was there. They kind of have it a down year. And it didn't matter, because Tulane ran all over them, did what they want, a phenomenal game for Tulane. Now, you can bottle that up, take that with you, go to Cincinnati, because you know what Tulane was going to do last week? They were supposed to rotate quarterbacks. Well, they must have lit a fire in the Jonathan Banks, because by them saying, hey, we're going to play the McMillan kid too, if you really ain't getting it done, well, he went and got the job done. He did a very good job in
the
game.
And, you know, that one pass, it's funny. You look at, again, stats sometimes can tell you the story.
McMillan.
Not, but he ran that offense, called it right. There were no false starts. He handed it off right. You know, and sometimes, I know it sounds funny, but until I took the coaching football class at Southern Miss, and Patrick Surtain, who played high school football here, this is before Surtain's kid now goes to Alabama, we had to give a class in coaching football, right? So half of the semester was learning, and then the second half you had to do a class. You had to give a, you know.
Orientation?
Yes. Okay. So you had to go out there and do it. So we were judged. We had to do a five-minute presentation on something and then go out and do drills on Southern Miss's football field.
Gotcha.
Which I loved. It was great. Again, I knew this is what I was going to do, so what better way to learn it? I mean, unless you play the game and you do all of that. Mine was handoffs. Like, every aspect, like drop back pass, play action, you know, the instructor who's a football coach, you know, broke it down and gave everybody how to block on the offensive line, how to do it, you know, a draw play, pulling guard move, you know, so, and you broke it down, so you would, everybody had a little 5-minute thing.
But mine was a handoff. I'm like, this is easy. I mean, how difficult can a handoff be?
You better have gotten an A in a class.
I did. But, okay. But again, there's certain things that, you know, I know for you, they're second nature now. But, right. You know, the hand that you extend, it's a different foot. It's the opposite foot. So if I'm going left hand, it's the right foot that I extend. Where are you placing it? Where's the running back, you know, to put it in? Are you sticking it in the belly? And, you know, just different things.
I understand.
And you add to it.
Totally.
So it got me kind of looking at it from a different perspective, going, all right, look, it sounds easy for the backup to come in and just hand the ball off, you know? Dude, nerves can make that ball shaky. You still have to make the calls. And he did, because a lot of times on these new offenses that you see in college football, you're deciding to run left or right based off the defensive formations. And then Jonathan Banks didn't come back in the game.
No, he didn't.
That's how well he did.
Well, one thing, let's be honest, too, they were up
right
a few scores. And yeah. He threw
if he's choking and he's three and out.
He threw that quick.
Here comes Jonathan Banks.
And then he threw that quick screen, right. Quick little out route or whatever it might be, whatever you want to call it, at the line of scrimmage. And the kid took it for a score. What a game was over with. And so they figured, you know, we're up like three scores. We might as well go ahead and let him get some reps in, which is the smartest thing they can do is give that kid so they can understand now we have a good backup that we feel, granted, it was just a quarter and a half. But I like what I saw. Now, got to take this to Cincinnati. You got to go on the road and win at a good team on the road. And Cincinnati at home is going to be tough for them. But that's where it starts. You beat Memphis at home. You go on the road and beat Cincinnati. Now you're looking at a bowl bid because you should be saying we're good enough now.
So, to your point, this game is bigger than last week.
Oh yes, yes, yes. You know, at home, you're generally going to play better at home. You go on the road, you got a lot of traveling, you got this, that, you got hotels, you got all that stuff, and then you don't have the crowd base. And that's the only shame that I see in Tulane right now. And it is a shame. When you play two home games that I know of, I watched the game on TV, I went to the Nickel State game against, and the visiting team out supports the home team.
Yeah.
And they got to fix that. And
over there, know, for some reason, you know, again, you got to win. I understand that.
Winning,
I get it.
And I do. You know, your alumni association is not basically from the area. They're from all over. Everybody goes and leaves.
You
got
to get younger in the fan base. There's a lot of different areas on how to grow that, you know, and I know it's easy to say, hey, we need more attention and publicity. You create it. You can create it. You can do a lot.
You win, and it happens.
Nickels, you've seen in the last couple of years, sort of done that. What a performance, Julian Gums.
Yes,
right?
God. The young man from De La Salle.
But, man, it helps when you start with the pick six. It helps all of that. And, John, I know for you, I can only imagine. We didn't text nearly as much this game as we did 2 weeks ago. But I can only imagine it had to be a sigh of relief for not only you, but for Chase. In that you were getting touchdowns.
Right.
For two straight weeks, starting really with that
two-lane game.
They were field goal drives. And you were moving the football up and down the field. But you couldn't get touchdowns. It had to feel good to put up a 50 spot last week.
When this game started out, guess what happens? They do the same thing. I took Chase to dinner last night. I went to dinner with him and Ollie, the defensive lineman. And we had dinner in Thibodeau. And so he asked me some things about the offense. I'm having trouble, Uncle John, throwing a deep ball. You know, we got three open wide receivers he had for touchdowns and he missed them. But he hits the one down the middle of the field a couple of times and I'm like, God almighty, you can throw the one down the field. But he practiced it over and over in repetition. So when they do is they get down in there, first quarter, we're all thinking, oh my God, what's going on? They get down, they fumble, interception.
Yeah.
And I said, dude, y'all turning the ball over in the red zone. You're not turning it over in your own side. You're not turning it at midfield. Y'all turning the ball over and scoring opportunities. You can get points with a field goal, but you need touchdowns. But y'all turning the ball, and he understood it. What a great game. He had 50, could have put 80 if they wanted to.
Yeah.
And the other team scored a cheap touchdown at the end because everybody that doesn't play for Nichols got in the game. And he's played good the last 2 weeks, Chase. The team's played good.
Right.
The running game. You know, they thought Kendall Bussey was going to be the guy. Well, I got my scoop on that scenario. But Gum stepped in there. See, Gum was down in the dumps a week ago. Chase told me last night, he just said, your time's coming. Your time's coming.
And what happened?
The young man got an opportunity.
And I was just going to say that. Isn't it fun in sports to watch somebody get an opportunity and take advantage of it? It is.
He did. He took advantage of it. Now that tells me what? Nichols has got three running backs. Before they would have alternating two. Very seldom had they used three. And now you're seeing three, maybe four. One guy that I know of hasn't played much, but they got four running backs. Three's getting a lot of reps. They're doing things, and that's the key to it. They got a tough one this weekend. They go up to Northwestern. You know, you can say what you want. It's in rival game. They're playing for, you know, whatever trophy they play for. It's on the road. It's on CST TV, right. Saturday night, 6 p.m. I don't have to drive up to Nacogdoches.
Yep.
I can save my back. I'm going to sit home and have me a
Long
Island iced tea.
There you go.
That's from Boston.
Yeah.
Well, through way of New Orleans.
What would be Nacogdoches? Give me a demon drink.
Oh,
Flaming
my
Dr.
God.
Pepper. How about that?
Yeah, you know, there's something like there's some weird, some college weird drink
Flaming
from
Dr.
Nacogdoches.
Pepper.
Yeah.
Joey loves some Flaming Dr. Peppers, don't you, Joey?
With that voice of his last week, anything to help that voice out.
Hey, let's take a quick break. We come back. We'll continue. It's John Forcade, Gus Cattingill with you. Coming up next segment, we'll kind of go over some of the things that the Saints and Washington game will be. Some top storylines. We'll also hear
Drew Brees.
The first injury report is out, so let's go over that.
Mark Ingram's coming back.
Exactly, Mark Ingram. So that's your top storyline.
Yeah, Mark Ingram. Drew Brees got a chance to break the all-time passing yard.
800-998-1003. Call us. Tell us what is your top storyline going into the game. We'll do that when we come back. It's game time. John Forcade, Gus Cattingill, the Doc in Slidell, where we are each and every Thursday, ladies' night. Each and every Thursday as well. So stop on by, have a little dinner with us here on ESPN New Orleans.
Joe Septic Contractors has specialized in the installation of sewage systems, field drains, and vacuum truck services for over 40 years. They've grown into one of the largest sanitation companies in Louisiana. Call Joe Septic Contractors today about their rentals on portable toilets, holding tanks, iron hand wash stations, and air-conditioned restroom trailers for your next event. Call Joe Septic Contractors today at 985-632-5592 or visit their website at www.joeseptic.com.
Good luck to Mason Boudreaux, number 32. Go Colonels!
Watch out, the holiday season is near, and it's never too early to plan for those parties. You know, all the cooking, baking, roasting, keeping it cold, keeping it hot, getting ready, you know. Whoa, slow down, relax. Let Cashio's Catering relieve the stress that comes with those festive holiday meals. Ooh. From family get-togethers where you can just pick up your meals, to large corporate events where Cashio's will actually do the catering. Go to Cashio's.com, check out the menus, and discuss the details with their experienced consultants. Start planning now. Cashio's Catering for the holidays.
O'Reilly. Top off your cooling system during the 5-day sale at O'Reilly Auto Parts with Peak Long Life Premixed Antifreeze on sale for $5.99 a gallon after mail-in rebate. Protect against damaging rust and corrosion with Peak Long Life Premixed Antifreeze for $5.99 a gallon at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limit supply. See store for details.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Everyone, it's Gus Cattingill, and the Sports Hangover will be live this Monday, 12 to 3, at Clayton Homes, located on Highway 311 in Houma. Come check out the blowout sale. There's going to be special prices on select homes, and these will be the best deals of the year. We'll have jambalaya, pastalaya from the Jambalaya Shop, and come meet John Forcade. It's the Sports Hangover, live this Monday, 12 to 3, at Houma's Clayton Homes, on Highway 311 in Houma, only on ESPN New Orleans.
When you're sick, you want to be close to home. World-class medicine doesn't require a trip to the city because the best care is close to home at Thibodeau Regional. We're continually adding new services, and our team of physicians has grown to more than 250.
That's a lot of doctors.
More doctors, more services, treating more conditions.
And keeping more families healthy.
World-class medicine, right here, close to home at Thibodeau Regional.
Thinking about new floors? Don't pay retail. Shop where the dealers buy at New Orleans Flooring Distributors, where the products are direct from the manufacturer and now open to the public, offering South Louisiana high-quality flooring products at prices that cannot be beat, from hardwood to vinyl to carpet. So whether you're building your dream home or just fixing up, call New Orleans Flooring Distributors today, 504-249-6394, 504-249-6394, or visit them on LNA Road off Airline and Metairie and online at nolaflooring.com.
Come see us at Lady of the Sea Community Pharmacy to hear about ways we may be able to save you money on your prescription medications.
We accept most major insurances, and we also offer discounts through our 340B prescription program. Our friendly staff will take the time to review your prescriptions with you and assist in figuring out which programs will save you the most money. Come by our location in Frank's Supermarket in La Rose or call 693-9260 for more information. We look forward to being your community pharmacy.
Selfless service is the guiding principle that drives Army National Guard soldiers to be always ready whenever disaster strikes. They are your next door neighbors and your colleagues in schools, offices, and factories. To be a Guard soldier is to stand ready to serve at all times for family, for community, and for country. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com or contact an Army National Guard recruiter in your area.
Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM. KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's time to play the game.
This is your time.
This is our team.
We smell players. We finish strong.
Time to play the game.
Buckle up. It's showtime.
New Orleans, it's game time. With Gus Kattengill and John Forkay. To get in the action, call 800-998-1003 or through social media at ESPN Radio NOLA.
Lay it on the line until the final whistle blows.
G-Cat, Forkay, it's game time.
Let's get it on!
Yes, it is hour number two. Stop on by. It's the Dock. Each and every Thursday, Gus Kattengill, John Forkay with you. Coming up this hour, let's see if John Forkay can catch me. I don't think I did too well last week.
We both sucked last week. Right? I'm going to put it point blank, 5-7.
We always do picks
but guess
at
what?
The end of the game.
Yeah, we'll do it later, but you're 22-14.
There it is. Wait for it. There it is.
Yeah, you're still leading.
The Wally Coyote.
22-14. Yeah. I'm 15-21. So I gotta do something.
That is always great when Wally Coyote just goes off the cliff.
It really did you ever watch that when you were younger?
Oh, absolutely.
Every day, okay. Could not miss it.
Here's the thing. Do you think you could still have those type of cartoons today?
Nah.
Tom and Jerry.
I think you can.
There's some things that I don't know.
Well, here's my take on it.
See, I don't know if,
I think you can.
Groups would allow poking in the eyes with forks. Blowing people up.
Well, that's why you have to.
Feeding rat poison to things.
Well, I think you can do it if you pretty much explain it to people, you know, like we can explain it to our kids. Yeah. And so, but yeah, it's what you take of it.
Yeah,
I never thought none of that.
So you didn't watch Wally Coyote?
I watched
to go.
I watched every time.
You didn't want
time,
to drop an anvil on your brother?
No, I never. No, we didn't. We didn't think that watching a doggone cartoon was going to make me go out. You know, maybe the kids nowadays are different than the kids that I growing up, and nobody's ever thought about that.
Joey, I thought Acme was a real like company. I wanted to order things just like the Coyote and everybody else does, right? I mean, exactly. You know, from Acme, I could order dynamite. An anvil, costumes,
furniture,
brooms. Yeah,
dude. You in your case, you probably want to dress up. You know, like a girl. Makeup.
Well,
did you wear makeup?
If it's ladies' men's night, you never know.
Did you ever wear makeup?
No, I never wore makeup.
You didn't go get your mama's little
not
thing
yet.
And put some lipstick on and.
Although I did, sample, I did,
right?
I did.
And I'm not talking costume parties.
Well, no, I did
Halloween.
Twice. I did twice partake in a ladies' men's night at a golf club. That Scratches was a bar.
Oh, yeah,
above
I know exactly.
On the North Shore. On Berman Highway.
Berman Highway. The worst golf course in America.
Yeah, but again, when I was 18,
Plantation.
Right, going into my freshman year at Southern Miss, remember at the time I was grandfathered in.
Yep.
So when I went to 21, so I was good. And a buddy of mine was the bouncer at the pool hall there because it was
right,
it was a really cool place to play pool.
Great place
so
to shoot pool.
That's when the Bud Light commercials came out, and it did ladies' men's night. And yes, I did
dressed,
it.
Hey, I can understand.
Hey, I drank for free all night.
That's all that matters, dude. I just get getting pictures.
I went home about an hour and a half after it started. Now I was still able to drink for free. After. Somebody grabbed my tush.
Oh my!
I kid you not. No. It was a dude, and he had no idea. He was like freaking out. I was at the bar. Had my back turned, and I kid you not, I
claim sexual assault?
Well, now I could have, yes, absolutely.
Right,
at this point,
I just wondering.
Yes, I could have, but I thought, you know what, the evening's gone on long enough,
And, hands are hands.
No, I mean, it was a very uncomfortable situation for everybody. And,
I don't think
and the bartender was like, you can go home and change and you're good. Here's your wristband.
Okay, I don't think you want to sit here on the air and tell everybody
Like I said,
okay.
But yes, that was my only time in which, but again, it was free beverages for the evening.
And the Saints do play Monday night.
They do play Monday night. Adrian Peterson is on his way back to New Orleans.
You know what?
Oh, really such quick a long about, time he hung out
I know.
Here.
He's
oh,
been,
my gosh.
People want to know, Adrian Peterson come back to New Orleans. I'm like, yay. He was here long enough to get a beignet biscuit and get out of here. You know, a beignet donut and
I don't know. Have you seen
down.
Him, though? I don't know if he ate many beignets or biscuits.
No.
He's kind of cut.
He's cut for a 40-year-old man.
So, in all honesty, I mean, he was known for his handshakes. I mean, that's really what it is. Now, seriously, he has the hardest handshake of any human being in the world that I know
Adrian
of.
Peterson?
Adrian Peterson.
Wow.
And
I hate
people purposely
that do that.
Does, he knows
they,
it.
They do that and
yes.
That's when,
No. He goes right over the top and he goes until he sees a facial reaction from you.
I know exactly. Yep.
I can't stand
people that do that.
Well, I'm telling you, that's what he's known
that's
for because he didn't play.
That's why
he
got you the bump.
Well, he was here and then he wanted to go bye-bye. So
that's probably why Sean Payton got rid of him. He
on
shook
Monday,
his hand.
He talked with the Washington media and he did touch on it and he goes, hey, look, you know, that picture that's lived in infamy and when she's, you know, it looks like he's in mid-yell, Sean Payton's in mid-scowl. Looking back at him, he said, yeah, no, I told him we need to run the football. We need to run the football down their throats. But he says, look, we're on the same page. He's caught up in a game. I'm caught up in a game. But, look, he did say he thought it would be a great situation. And then they drafted Alvin Kamara. And he said, I saw it at practice.
Right.
So it's pretty cool for him to say that. Because, look, take what you want. We're having fun with his stay here in New Orleans. Before that, the guy was a great runner.
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
And he put in his work and he got his yards.
And I thought it was a good thing to bring him in. To relieve, my thought was this, he was going to come in and be the guy that took some reps from Ingram and be that Alvin Kamara guy that we have now. But when you go ahead and draft another running back, he saw the writing on the wall. He understood that. And Sean Payton was trying to be generous about, we're going to start you, we'll play you, you know, but he knew in time that, you know, he had to get out of there.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think that's one of the things that stood out, from that aspect of just seeing what Alvin Kamara can do. And, you know, I was on Sports Zone last night with Ed Daniels talking about Alvin Kamara, and he's like, he has 20 touchdowns, not this year, but in total since he's been here. Over 1,000 yards in receiving and running already. And I said, and I think you might have been on the show when we talked about it. I think we talked about draft night. Look, it's the bad luck that Drew Brees has had that he's not an MVP, right? I mean, the years that he's excelled, won the Super Bowl, Peyton Manning and others have had good years. Look at this season. You know, I saw a couple of quarter of the season awards from a couple of websites. They have Goff, they have Mahomes and Breeze, and he's third. And I can't argue with that. What Pat Mahomes has done as a first-time starter with Kansas City, it's tough for me to say no. Jared Goff and the Rams look really good. It's tough for me to say no. So, but my point that I'm making is I think when it's all said and done, Alvin Kamara could be an MVP in the NFL.
I said it today on my show, my TV show. I said when I put up his picture and we discussed it, I said, you're looking at the MVP of the NFC right now and possibly MVP of the NFL only if you know, you would need Mahomes to do something pretty bad the rest of the season. But Alvin Kamara has been consistent, and so has Mahomes. Goff hasn't. You know, Drew Brees will be fighting his own teammate.
Right.
You know, you're taking it away from each other. So somebody's going to take it away from each other, but Alvin Kamara is
Now, could you split it? Because you know you have two awards. You have Offensive Player of the Year overall.
And you get the MVP.
Which Lattimore said was his goal and Kamara's goal this year. Last year, they're rookie.
Rookie
of the
year.
Offensive Defensive Player of the Year. They wanted to be overall Offensive Defensive Player of the Years. I think maybe that's an avenue that Alvin Kamara can sort of have. And then, again, you look at what Michael Thomas is doing, man.
Yeah.
I mean, geez and Pete's, this guy's going to – he's easily well on his way to having a third straight season of 1,000 yards.
You know,
he's well on his way to, you know, doing all kinds of ridiculous nonsense and records and stuff. But to me, to your point, what Kamara's doing, I think he's picking up slack at the receiving and he's picking up slack in the running game. And he's doing it almost effortlessly. I mean, that three-touchdown performance against the Giants was ridiculous.
And that little gliding 49-yard run at the end was phenomenal. And you know, he's going to get better. The reason I say this, with and people listen to what I'm saying, he's going to get better because he's going to get less rushing attempts because you can't kill a kid. And 19 last week, okay, that's fine and dandy. Now comes Mark Ingram back into the to the fold. Ingram will get his 12, 14 carries a game, 15 maybe, let's say. Now Kamara will get his running 8 to 10 times now. Okay, that you know, you don't want to, you want to see what Ingram can do, but it won't happen this week because I tell you what, because Ingram has to show us that he has done enough in the offseason training to be able to be in football shape. You can't go there and say, okay, we're going to pound you 17, 18, 19, now. I don't see that happening.
Right.
Kamara is still going to get his 5, 6, 7 passes thrown to him a game. That's just in the offense. But he's going to get less carries. It's going to save him because I'd rather have him much more. Now, don't get taken the wrong way, people listening. He's more valuable to his football club than a Mark Ingram. And the way I mean is that because – he can do much more with the football, quicker, faster. He can break. Ingram's now at the, you know, he's been around a while. Don't know what he can do yet.
Right.
He's coming back, but I think by less carries, give Ingram some carries. I think it'll overall be good for this football club.
This is Sean Payton earlier today in his conference call as to why he thinks Mark Ingram's return is a significant one.
It's significant in a number of ways, in pass pro, in the balance that we have, the things it allows us to do with Alvin as a receiver at times. And also, look, there's a wear and tear on one player. And, you know, we talked all off season about how this first month was going to be without Mark, you know, and the idea was for us to kind of keep those touches in a similar area and the playing time in a similar area. And of course, we weren't able to do that. I mean, in other words, his numbers did increase, and yet there's a wear and tear that takes place with that. Mm-hmm. And so when you're looking at a 16-week season, I mean, we look at it as having two outstanding running backs, and I think they complement and fit each other extremely well.
What was I talking about before you got on the air?
Yeah.
You know, he understands that we can't kill – Alvin, he had no choice the first four games because really he didn't have any other run back would take the load off him that Sean felt comfortable. You know, I thought maybe the Williams kid,
Jonathan Williams. Now with the Colts, he'll be playing tonight.
Oh, unbelievable.
Yeah, he got picked up.
He did. So, you know, that's how things work. And nobody stepped up to be the guy to relieve Alvin. So they said, you know, hey, We gotta go with you, my man. You know, and then when Mark comes back, which he will, it'll lighten up the load on Kamara. And I don't think Kamara is complaining about it because look, he'll get his 10, 12 touches as a running back, but he'll get his 6, 7. That means he might upload him a little bit more in the receiving.
Right.
So, getting hit in that line of scrimmage is one thing, and getting hit outside as a little slash receiver.
One of the things, obviously, to kind of look at it because it's that balance, right? So Mark Ingram will come back. Sure, let's get him integrated into the offense. Here's another dilemma, I think, for Sean Payton. Maybe the bye week helps here. We've yet to really see. If I'd have told you, right, and you went to training camp practice with us, I mean, you saw it.
Yep.
Would you have thought Tre'Quan Smith would have one catch
in
the first quarter of the season?
Four games. As much as they talked about him from a standpoint, the Saints talking about him, as what we saw.
Yeah.
But the problem is, this to me personally, I thought somebody, I'm not going to mention his name on the air, but he should have not been playing. I think this kid's way better than he is from a standpoint. He showed a lot more and they didn't activate him. And then now all of a sudden he's activated with one catch. They have Michael Thomas. You know, you got Ted Ginn who's having a good, but he's dropped a few. He's so some. You know, Austin Carr.
Yeah.
He's been okay for them. Smith, and then they brought the Meredith kid. So that's five. Only five receivers that they can play. They got one that they bring in. Was it Tate?
Brandon Tate.
As a sixth receiver.
And now he's gone.
The return guy. So they got to get their deals right with the return specialist and receiving thing because I think they're messing up with that right now. It's the only thing I see a problem with. with the receiving core, and, you know, who are your receivers and who's going to return specialists?
So that first injury report is out, John. Let's take a quick look at it. At the receiver position, Ted Ginn, knee, did not practice. That's been the same
thing. That's like every week.
But he's not practicing the first day, and then tomorrow will be limited. So he's dealing with something. Guard Andres Pete, ankle. Tackle Teron Armstead, knee. Receiver Cameron Meredith, knee. Running back Alvin Kamara, knee. Linebacker Manti Te'o, knee. All were limited practice. So it's just being careful.
It's sort of like with the Patriots deal. Just throw it on 10 or 12 of them up there. Yeah, and let people
exactly.
think.
As for the Redskins, their list is a little lengthier. Wide receiver Josh Doxson-Heal didn't practice. Guard Sean Luvalo, calf, did not practice. Safety Troy Apple, hamstring, did not practice. The rest were limited. Tackle Trent Williams with the knee. Running back Adrian Peterson, ankle. He says he's going to play. Wide receiver Paul Richardson, shoulder, like you were surprised. Guard Brandon Scherff, knee. Cornerback Josh Norman, hamstring. And full go were a pair of linebackers, Zach Brown, oblique. Ryan Anderson, hamstring. And quarterback Colt McCoy with the right thumb. He has a bobo. So
wow. Wait, backup quarterback's hurt?
Yeah.
What are you? Well, slipped at home?
Hey, it's hard carrying the clipboard. It's the clipboard. That clip might have got his thumb.
$7-8 million backup, yeah, and hurts his thumb.
You know what? He hurt his thumb. So
wow.
But anyway, so that's your injury report from that standpoint. Is that's healthy, I guess, where you're going to be. But that quarter of the season, man, if they can get in that bye, we can get some of these guys rested up and going. That's good. So your top storyline, you're saying, is?
My top storyline is the fact that I hate to say the top one, but you gotta say Mark Ingram coming back is a big thing. And the other factor is the top storyline is the fact that Monday night in the Superdome, you know how the Saints play. As Drew Brees is going to break Peyton Manning's all-time yardage passing in the NFL. That's a big story there. Nobody's really saying much about it.
You want to go third quarter, or second quarter? He's going to do it. He's going to pass for 200.
He'll definitely do 200. I think third quarter. I think Washington's not a bad team.
No, they're not.
They're not a bad team. They are.
But, I mean, 200 yards.
In the first half, that's – they're going to run the football. They want to see what Ingram can do. That's going to take away from the passing. I still say he'll get it in the third quarter. Probably the first series in the second half.
It'll be interesting to see. I'm trying to look at the yards passing. So, you know, last week was his fewest, 217.
Right. 18 to 32.
Against
huh?
Cleveland, 243. Now, you know what they had in common? 396, Atlanta, 439, Cleveland. You know what they had in common with those 200-yard games? They had entire halves where the offense looked terrible.
Yeah.
Right?
The Giants, they go down there four times to get field goals.
Right? Well, that 12, first seven. Half just looked awful.
It put me to sleep.
That three and a half quarters against Cleveland, awful. I just don't see that against Washington. Not anything because of them.
Right.
I just think if you're going to show me you're turning the corner here, right, and you saw a little bit on the defense kind of improve in terms of limiting 100-yard rushers for back-to-back games, okay? Now, I guess you can argue with Atlanta, well, Matt Ryan was having so much success passing, why would you hand the football off? But, look, if Tevin Coleman would have gone off for 100 yards, it would have been even worse.
Right. I agree. You totally agree with you.
So I think that helps. You know Adrian Peterson wants to, you know, stuff it down Sean Payton's face. So to your point, it could be a shortened game, so you may not have a lot of possessions and a lot of time to do that. Maybe it might be late in the game.
Now, another thing we haven't hit on is the fact that the new quarterback for the Washington Redskins, Alex Smith, is a player. He played very well last year. Remember for Kansas City.
How about when we come back? Let's talk a little bit about Washington, the complimentary style of football, and also Alex Smith. He has tormented the Saints as a Chief, as a 49er. Saints haven't beaten him. I mean, so that's all you need to know about Captain Dink and Dunk. Because he's going to kill you inside of 15 yards, but you got to stop it. You know, he doesn't give you opportunities to pick off his passes. It's John Forcade. It's Gus Cattingell. It's game time here live at the Dock and Slot L, where we are each and every Thursday. Stop on by. Every Thursday, a 12 for 12. 12 oysters for $12. Char-grilled and also Rockefeller. Plus, you do get ladies' night on Thursday and Friday. $2 drinks for the ladies to come on in and enjoy themselves as well. Plus, You got to try all the different specials. The seafood nachos, nobody else does them. Try it over here at the dock. Great view. The sun has set, but still a beautiful view here on the dock. And, John, look behind you. You got a couple behind you with their dog on the patio. And you got another couple behind over there. So folks starting to sit outside.
It's good crowd. No, good crowd. Start inside, outside.
College is underway. Tulsa, Houston will give you a scoreboard there. And the NFL kicks off in 8 minutes, the new week. Indianapolis at New England. Don't forget the $5 Long Island iced teas. That's flowing here as well. It's game time on ESPN New Orleans.
Slidell is more than a restaurant. It's an experience that includes great food and drinks, a live music venue, beach volleyball, and more. And the sunsets at the dock, well, they're memorable. With the beautiful waterfront scenery along Lake Pontchartrain, come experience it all at the dock in Slidell while enjoying their famous seafood nachos or the classic shrimp and grits. And you gotta try their delicious craft cocktails, live music, food, drink, and sunsets. All at the dock, your new family-friendly destination in Slidell.
It's football season and Pride Financial wants to help you score big. Everyone can use a little extra cash to get supplies, sport uniforms, even a flat screen TV to watch the games. Pride Financial, located on Bayou Gardens Boulevard in Holman, Pelche Park in Thibodeau, where you can get loans of $300 and up. Need cash today? Forget the high fees of payday loans. Stop by Pride Financial today with more convenient options. Join the winning team at Pride Financial at Bayou Gardens Boulevard in Holman, Pelche Plaza in Thibodeau, or visit them online at pridefinancial.net.
Do you know if you have the right insurance coverage? Or do you feel like you're paying too much for your car, home, or business insurance? Look, if you hesitated, you need to contact Bourgeois Insurance in Thibodeau. Owner or agent Price Bourgeois will personally help you find the coverage you need. And because he's an independent agent, he can find the right coverage that fits your budget. Hey, there shouldn't be any doubts about your insurance. Call 985-803-8999 or log on to 123myquote.com. Bourgeois Insurance in Thibodeau. Home, commercial, auto.
Escúchame, it is Zidane Levitation, ESPN Radio.
Think about this, right? What they're trying to fix there is old guy referee chasing a play where there may or may not have been a bump, and that's worth 70 yards in a game of violent real estate acquisition.
Right.
Like, you can't have, nobody can get a 70-yard play, and then you just lob a ball up, and old guy's running back there, and maybe there's some hand contact, and you get a 70-yard penalty. And I think what happens when you change this rule, though, is now, are you not risking that football is going to have fewer and fewer actual deep plays? Because cornerbacks, if they're beaten, they're just going to tackle a dude. They're just going to take him out and take the 15 yards. Are the pros going to, pros playing by college rules going to just take away all deep balls because corners who are beat are not going to do anything other than just grab a guy and you eliminate any possibility of deep play?
The Dan Levitard Show with the Stugats on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
You're in the game with Gus Kattengill and John Forcade on 100.3 ESPN New Orleans. Shoot us a tweet at ESPN Radio NOLA.
Must be game time.
Mark Ingram back in New Orleans, enough to get a win.
Yeah, I think it's enough to get a win at home in New Orleans. But listen, I'm surprised about the way the Redskins have played this thus far this year. Very exciting on the offensive side of the ball. But I think New Orleans are going to be too much at home with Drew Brees. He probably will break a record, has a chance to break a record this week. So I'm going with the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the New Orleans Saints also. I mean, they've been doing a great job defensively in terms of stopping the run. Kamara and Ingram back. It's going to be nice seeing that 1-2 punch again. So let's go with the Saints.
201 passing yards, and he snaps Peyton Manning's career passing yard record. And then also he can hit 500 career passing touchdowns. Big day in New Orleans.
All right, Darren Woodson and Teddy Bruschi. Thank you, Joey, for that. Picking the Saints to do that. I think that's, I look at it, right? I just think that the Saints offense, if they remotely start to click, it's going to be tough for any defense to really stop. And I think that's one of the things I've seen in the first quarter of the season, John, so far. Not a lot of teams in the NFL have defense right now.
It's funny because I pulled up yesterday. I pulled up both the defense 2018 rankings defensively, and I pulled up their offensive. And I'm looking at like some of these teams that are up there, some of these teams that you would suspect them to be up there, and you don't see it.
Yeah.
It doesn't really. Midway point is when you want to determine your defenses and offense. If you're a caliber playoff team, you better have, after eight games, coming down the stretch, you better have your defense and your offense doing some things. Early in the season, everybody's, it's sort of like a horse race. They jockeying for position. Because the first game of the season, when we looked at that game and said, oh, my God, this defense is horrible. And watching training camp today, we kept saying, man, they're much better than the offense. They looking good. I think the problem was the first game with our defense was they rotated so many linebackers. They were losing. And then it went down to a strict defense. They played very well.
You were so funny about saying that because it's communication. Sean Payton last week talked about getting the corners and the safeties on the same page, communicating, understanding what it was. Look, these are legit questions. I don't think we're being disrespectful, but I threw it out there. Perception. Do fans think that Marshawn Lattimore is having a good year? Do they think Marcus Williams is having a good year? And kind of along those lines, Sean Payton was asked about, look, Marcus Williams, how do you think he's doing this season and how do you think he's playing?
Listen, I thought he played well last week, and I think he's one of our better defensive players. I think he's smart, and, he's someone naturally the ball comes to. So I think when you get into some plans and there's movement, and then change of strength, the communication is something we're constantly working on and we have to be able to work on so that we're all on the same page. But I think he played real well in this past game.
I'm listening to his voice and I'm saying that he doesn't think Marcus Williams, I personally feel that he doesn't feel that Marcus has played well earlier. I think he's coming on.
I agree.
All right, that's what I'm hearing in his voice.
Dennis Allen last week said he thought Marcus Williams was trying to do too much. Again, maybe redeem himself.
That's what I think it is. He's probably trying to say, I got to redeem myself.
Do you think
maybe
Marshawn Lattimore is a situation where, hey, I'm out to prove that what I think the Saints defense is good.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same players from last year.
At the end of the season when they got
it's
better.
It's a different mindset. And it's something that you can say, hey, we're going to go about it the same. I'm more confident this way. But it's believing and trusting and being in the team. And that's what happens a lot of times when you have big pass plays. You may be trying to do too much, going and cover a certain area of the field that you're not, maybe trying to look at something. You mentioned Dennis Allen. He has blame on this, too.
Right.
Trying to rotate and use different players. Look, Kurt Coleman didn't play many snaps last week. Sean Payton was asked about that this morning. Is it not a benching, but something of that nature? He wrote it off as more of a game plan.
Well, the snaps went down last week because of base versus sub and how we're playing Vaughn. A lot of that really is dictated by the Giants being a big 11 personnel team. So he's doing real well. We always have a Buffalo package in, and I consider him our starting strong safety. The opponent you play each week, though, varies as to what they want to do deployment-wise, and last week, I think, was clearly a result of that.
Wow.
I can understand what he's saying. But he just said he's the starting strong safety.
Why would
I take my starting strong safety out in sub packages?
Right. I'm thinking,
you understand what I'm
I thought
at?
It was Bell and Williams.
I understand, I guess, what he's saying is Bell's maybe a better cover than Coleman and things of that nature. I still think in paper, in theory, sitting down going, hey, this guy could help us. Maybe they thought some of these players could sort of help or not. Look, A.J. Klein's another player where, again, we're waiting to see the linebackers kind of make some plays. DeMario Davis the last 2 weeks
made
stepped
some plays.
Up, right? But even he said, he's like, well, they're using me more in the role that I'm good at. Again, trying to find your role. Payton this morning says when it comes to Klein, just finally starting to get healthy.
Look, it's a process. In training camp, he still wasn't 100%, and then it's begun to come back, in the last 4 weeks. I think if you asked him, I think he's gradually feeling more and more and playing shape, and I think you see it in his play.
Here's my take. I think the Saints in the linebacking corps, they have two sets of starting linebackers in the league. You know, they have a bunch of linebackers that I could take any team and say, okay, I'll start these three guys. All right. No, I don't want them. I could start these three guys. They have a lot of linebackers. And that's what I thought the first game of the season, they were trying to rotate eight of them in there or whatever, get everybody in situational thing. I said, wait a second. That's what preseason's for. And that's what got them in trouble. I thought A.J. Klein played well the week before this game in Atlanta. I mean, he is coming on, and there's no doubt about it. You know, a guy's name we're not even hearing talking about is Robinson.
Well, Patrick Robinson's on IR.
No, I'm talking about Craig Rob, the linebacker.
Well, you did see him. You right. finally saw him this
yeah,
week.
Yeah, I saw him all yeah. right. It was like a, it was yeah. like a, wow. Somebody walked in front of the TV and then that was the end of it. You know, it's just, but they have, and you know, Stupar, you don't get to play much. And now, Angeloni is starting, he's starting to play a little better himself too.
You know this from actually playing at that level, John, and just playing in college as well. Practice is one thing, man. And doing it in a game is completely different. Everything's faster. You don't know what's coming.
I'm going to say this.
I think a lot of times games have to happen for them to play out until I will say this,
and I don't care if any NFL player wants to call in and debate this. But since they changed the rules of practicing, these guys are softer. We used to beat each other up in practice. You know, that first 2 days of practice, you know, you go off to Wednesday and Thursday, we got after each other. Right. It was like, all right, it's like game day. You lighten it up a little bit on Friday, you walk through Saturday, you play Sunday. They can't do none of that now. Right. They cannot do it. You see practices now. They can't do anything. Then they get a football game. Oh, my God, we don't do this in practice. I mean, this is real. We got to hit. We got to tackle. We got to get in there. And you see all that. You know, you brought Lattimore up. And you asked a question about playing this year. I think he's playing average this year. He's nothing like last year. Now, granted, this is the situation. Cornerbacks are the guys that we see all the time on TV because at what? Everybody's throwing the football. You're going to play cornerback. It's unjust because try covering receiver. I don't care what all pros you could talk about. Yeah. You know, Revis Island. You can go back and get Michael Haynes with all the stick and stuff. I will tell you, those poor guys on a – you know, you get thrown at 15 times and a guy catches five passes, that's pretty good coverage. 15 attempts, he only caught five, but guess what? Those five things could lead to three touchdowns. Next thing you know, he scored 21 points on me, but he only caught five balls. But he went 15 times at him. And that's the whole situation with looking at a position saying, well, you're not playing very well. But that's what they pick on right. in the NFL, the cornerbacks.
Yeah. John Forcade, Gus Cattingale with you. Got another half hour to go. When we come back, we'll hear from Sean Payton talking about Alex Smith and that Washington offense and defense. He says it's a balanced attack. Plus, John, we're going to do our picks. The NFL game is underway. We'll do all that and more when we come back to the Dock and Slidell. Each and every Thursday we're here. It's game time. John Forcade, Gus Cattingale on ESPN New Orleans. Peter Don's Cart and Accessories, where you get the lowest prices in the area on golf carts and other motorized carts, as well as parts. Peter Don's sells refurbished gas and electric club cars and easy goes, and wait until you see the huge showroom filled with parts and accessories. Now through October 31st, the T105 Trojan 6-volt battery is just $99. Peter Don's gives you more for less and the best selection of motorized vehicles, plus that 1-year warranty on all parts. Peter Don's, West Main and Houma.
Advanced Eye Institute in Cutoff is your hometown eye care provider. Dr. Darby Chasson is here to serve the eye care needs of your entire family. Full-service eye medical and vision services are provided in a friendly atmosphere. For the latest in designer frames to advancements in astigmatism and bifocal contact lenses, call Advanced Eye Institute at 985-632-2884 for your appointment today or visit their website at visionsource-drdarbychasson.com.
The Dock and
Slidell is more than a restaurant. It's an experience that includes great food and drinks, a live music venue, beach volleyball, and more. And the sunsets at the dock, well, they're memorable with the beautiful waterfront scenery along Lake Pontchartrain. Come experience it all at the dock in Slidell while enjoying their famous seafood nachos or the classic shrimp and grits. And you gotta try their delicious craft cocktails, live music, food, drink, and sunsets. All at the dock, your new family-friendly destination in Slidell.
Deciding when and how to retire is one of the most important financial decisions you'll ever make. Do you take a lump sum? Do you have to pay taxes on this money? How do you invest during retirement to make sure you don't outlive your income? What health insurance plans are available? With such an overwhelming number of questions, the most important decision you can make is to seek the advice of a trusted, qualified advisor. Chris Godet has served the area for over 12 years and has the expertise to work with you to find the right solutions. Give Chris Godet a call at 632-6049.
More than 50 years ago, SL Bank first opened its doors for business. We opened to serve the needs of families and businesses that had been largely ignored by bigger city banks and to operate as a true community bank. That means exceptional service, long-term relationships, value-driven accounts and services, and the assurance your financial future is important to us. Today, those commitments remain unchanged. SL Bank, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. LaRose, North LaRose, Golden Meadow, Cutoff, and Galliano.
Welcome back to Game Time on 100.3 ESPN New Orleans. To get in the game, give us a buzz at 800-998-1003. Now, back to G-Cat and John Forkay.
It was right before the half ended it against the Rams. I threw a pass, a long pass, one of them Hail Mary pass before the halftime. The guy intercepts for the Rams. He runs it back down the sideline. He gets hit. He fumbles it. One of his own players picks it up, and he decides to run across the field. As he's running across the field, one of my receivers come from behind, strips him of the football. The ball bounces into my hands at my own 20. I took it 80 yards the other way for a touchdown right before the half. It made, one, the NFL Follies, and also the NFL's greatest 100 touchdowns.
There you go.
Thank you, Joey.
I was
there. You're the man.
You know. I was there.
You were there.
A replacement
that was
game.
An exciting moment. You know, I was a little, you know, coming in the replacement game. And here's the funny thing about this. You know, I hear people always talk about, oh, you scab, you cross. And I'm like, well, hold the phones there. Would you like me to pull up the list
right.
of all the players that played in the replacement games? Who's in the Hall of Fame? Howie Long.
You got that
Steve
list.
Steve Largent. Joe Montana.
Right.
You know, I was the only guy in New Orleans Saints that went and played. Oh, no. We had Bruce Clark, who I got to see a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
Haven't seen him since, you know, everything. But there was, you know, that play, the strikes he's there, he got me into the league. I had to do what it took to get me in the NFL.
Absolutely.
Somebody had to see me because I could have gone to Oakland, and I had coaches and personnel people in the Raiders that really wanted me out there. Al Davis called me. But Jim Finks, man, he went to the airport to convince me don't go to Oakland. Because I was gone after 86 season, you know, preseason and all that stuff. And I said, you know what? They're going to give me a better shot.
Right.
Finks was like, no. You will start in the replacement games. I was like, hey, I got your word. So he goes, I'm here. Huh? And he came in. You know, I dropped Keith off at the facilities.
Right.
And he's like, where's your brother? Oh, he's going to Oakland. And nobody knew that. I was like, yeah, dropped Keith off. And he got to the airport. He fly down. He said,
"No kidding."
We sat down, chatted, and my whole thing about it was the fact that I pretty felt that I was being lied to by the coaching staff,
right?
And I wasn't going to get a fair opportunity. So why should I go back to you guys after I felt like I'd be Richard Todd out, Dave Wilson out, and you know I thought I had a better training camp than Bobby. But y'all, I understand the situation. But I could have been the backup in '86, but they kept Dave and I think Richard or whatever the deal was, and. That's, you know, it's all water under the bridge now. No looking back. But, hey, Joey, yeah, it's great to have you play that every week and let people know I'm still alive. You
that's
know?
Right.
Crippled up, but I'm still alive.
And you know, one of the things, so, like you're talking about. There you
yes,
go.
They had the longest touchdown pass in Saints history. It lasted for a long while. And it, I don't mind losing it to a Drew Brees, a Hall of Famer, but
right.
I lost it to Heath Shula.
Well, you know.
It happens, man.
Heath
it
Shula.
Happens. Yeah. Heath Shula, what a. Classic yeah. pickup that was.
And the Patriots just sacked Andrew Luck. Ooh, that looked like it hurt. I tell you what, how was that not a penalty?
I was on the Gulf Coast today. I could have gone to the casino, and because of the sack, he still got the ball. Nobody hit him up high. And I should have walked into the casino and dropped a little bit on, you know, on a page, the only 10.5-point favorite. I like that.
No. I honestly have no idea how that wasn't a flag yet. Two Patriots fall with all of their weight.
No, that was a sack, though, with the ball in his hands. Different when you don't have the ball in his hand. Oh. That's what the penalty is. If he's got the ball in his hand, they ain't going to call it. You're tackling the guy with the ball in his hand. If you don't have the ball in his hand throwing a football, that's when they figure, oh, you're coming down.
No, but Matthews had a sack on Alex Smith.
With the ball in his hand?
Yeah.
Oh.
And they called him a penalty.
Oh. Well, maybe the league wise up now and say, look, lighten up on the quarterback
sack.
Well,
the tight end Ebron just dropped the wide open pass for first
down.
This
will be ugly.
And the Colts are well on their way to getting smoked.
Yes.
Sean Payton on the Redskins, he says, you know what? They're a complimentary football team.
Well, a couple things that you see on tape. They're not giving up the big play. They've limited the explosives. I think they're playing the run awfully well. They're affecting the passer. I think their sub rush is really good, and so you're seeing quarterbacks under duress. Their numbers, both in the running game and the passing game, are real strong. And then the thing we always talk about, flip side, is they're playing a complementary game of football, and this is a team that's, you know, one of the top 6-7 teams in time of possession on offense. So when you get the time of possession that they're getting offensively, and then you're playing the way they are defensively relative to the run, and pressuring the quarterback and also eliminating the big plays, that formula works.
Now, that formula includes Alex Smith as the quarterback. And again, I call him Captain Dink and Dunk. The guy won a ton of games in Kansas City. They won 11 in a row, 9 in a row during a stretch in the AFC. We're in the postseason. It's beating the Saints every time they play them. They're undefeated.
Undefeated. And, you know, San Francisco, Kansas City, and now he's in Washington. He's played with some good football clubs, you know, that had good teams that were playoff teams. Mm-hmm. This team he's playing with right now has got pretty decent running backs, good receivers. They were beat up a little bit, but they're sitting at 2-1. They lead their division. Now, granted, they didn't play last week. They got a week off. Get some guys healthy.
Right.
But you're coming into the Superdome to play the New Orleans Saints on a Monday night football game with Mark Ingram coming back and Drew Brees going for a record. Yeah, that ain't the game you want to come out and play. Now, Jay Gruden, I'm not sold on him as a coach. Never. I like Jay. I've known him for a long time.
Are you surprised he's still there?
Yeah, I'm surprised he was there. I thought a couple of years ago. I knew a couple of years ago they were going to get rid of him. Somehow, some way, I don't know, John Gruden made a phone call to the man up there and told him, don't fire my brother. I was shocked that he was there after, you know, some miserable seasons. But if he plays, I'll say this much, he won't be there this year if they have a losing record. And I'm sorry to say it, but, you know, I don't want to see anybody get fired, but I don't see it happening.
Right.
If they don't win a division or get in the playoffs. But with Alex Smith there, he brings a lot to the table. You like Dink and Dunk? Yeah, but tell you what he hurt you with. That man still likes to run the football.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, what makes him tough to me to defend is he doesn't take many chances, so it's hard to get an interception off of him.
Well, let me ask you about Alex. You watched him for a long time. Have you really heard him being on the IR and not playing a lot of football games?
For
a guy who he's a smart runner. Yeah. He'll get down. He'll get out of bounds.
He never has the ball in his hands. That's what I'm saying. He gets rid of him quickly, and then you know, he scrambles enough to extend plays.
Do you think both teams before this, Frisco and Kansas City, he wasn't appreciated?
I still don't think he is.
I think he was. I think it's a shame. It wasn't his fault he went to Utah.
Yeah.
It wasn't his fault that he got drafted number one. And man, he just wants to play football and be honestly looked at as you know, let me go do my job. I did pretty good, doggone good in college. Give me a chance. And then here's the thing that people look at these days. I look at quarterbacks, and I want to sit there and emphasize. I'd rather have a quarterback who manages the game and wins football games over somebody who's throwing for all these yardages and they're not winning. Can you pick a guy's name out of the hat right now? I'll tell you a guy right now. Look what Phillip Rivers done. Has he done anything? Nothing. When's the last time he was in the Super Bowl? Never. I can go and name other guys. Now, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, and this guy playing tonight.
Brady.
You know, Alex Smith doesn't deserve some of the criticisms he's taken. And you know what the thing was? He doesn't say anything about it.
You really don't. I kept trying to think of a quote or anything that happens there. Here's Sean Payton on Alex Smith in this Washington offense. How is it maybe different than Kansas City.
Yeah, and yet the offense is different than, you know, it's not specific to Kansas City. He's still operating extremely efficiently. You know, the one thing you see is his ability hadn't changed at all, being able to move in the pocket, flush to the pocket, make a play to the right, to the left. So not only in the pocket, but outside the pocket, he's dangerous. Clearly, he's got a command as to what they're trying to do, whether they're in the gun or under center. I think he's playing real well.
Yeah, he is playing well. And, you know, he played well at Kansas City. They traded the gap, and I understand with Kansas City. Look, we drafted a kid number one. He sat out 1 year, basically learning. We got to let the kid go. We got to let Alex. And it was a good trade.
Yeah,
it was a good trade for Alex. Alex didn't want to be looking over his shoulder, you know.
And you could understand. I mean, you could see it.
It's a good trade.
Look, I said it today on the show, on the Sports Hangover. I said, what would you have done? Because Sean Payton said they were taking Pat Mahomes. He was at 11 last year. They were taking him. And you can see what he's been able to do already.
What
would you have done with Drew? I mean, do you trade him after this year? Even if they, I mean, would you do what Kansas City did? They went to the playoffs last year.
Yes.
I mean, can you imagine the Saints going to the playoffs
and then getting rid of Drew
and trading Drew Brees because he will have 1 year left on his deal? I think it's very attractive to other teams. You know, they'll trade for him. You could probably get some decent compensation like Kansas City sort of did.
Right.
And then you have, but you're trusting that rookie is going to take your team back to the playoffs. That's what Kansas City did.
Well, I think Kansas City's reason for doing it because Kansas City said, you know, we're good enough. We have a good enough. And they're in a bad division.
Right.
We have a good enough. I think
they wanted a quarterback that could take them to that next level.
And I think
whereas the Saints have a quarterback that is the next level.
Now, you brought that up. I know it's kind of weird, but you brought it up. I'm going to say it right now. What happens now?
Right.
Next season, Drew Brees is going to be out of – that's his last year of the contract.
Right.
If he plays as well as he's playing now, they cannot go ahead and franchise tag Teddy Bridgewater because Bridgewater can walk if he knows that Drew Brees will be back next season. And if they say, well, you know, Drew's playing well, we're going to give you another 2-year deal.
Right.
Well, Teddy Bridgewater's not going to sit around. If they pay this guy 14, 15, 16 million, whatever the franchise tag is for an NFL quarterback, that's $16 million and a $30 million. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely don't think you can do that.
You can't. You can't do it. You know, you let Teddy Bridgewater roll. You know, if Drew can come back. Guess who's back tonight for the New England Patriots?
Josh Gordon?
Edelman.
Oh.
And he's already made two big plays. A punt return, he just caught a pass right here. They're so good offensively, it's just amazing. Oh, and he dropped it.
Well, he hadn't been around in a while.
That's what scares me.
Yeah.
After
Mark
4 weeks. Ingram.
Yep.
You go see some stuff with Ingram. You know, Brady wasn't very happy when he came off the sideline, but you know, that was a good play there, good call. But real quick update.
Yep.
I know it's 7-0 already, the Patriots, and then the other game was a college football game, and that was, let me make sure, I don't want to mess that up, but I think it was 10-0. It was 10-7 the last I looked, and I want to correct that. I will correct you right now. Troy's up on Georgia State 23-0, and Houston is losing to Tulsa 10-7 still in the first quarter. Wow, that's a long time ago. But Houston's got a beast up on the defensive front line, a young kid, college player named Oliver. Oh, my Lord, he's going to be a beast. But I was trying to tell you, you know, you don't have to go to the big schools. No. You know, you go anywhere you want nowadays. They'll find you.
Here's the thing, and it's something that maybe some players should think
he
about.
He stayed home.
I was going to say that. If you go anywhere in whatever school you go to and you excel and you're the guy, they put on the cover and you can be the greatest to ever play it at Tulsa or Houston.
Right.
You can.
Nowadays, they're all on TV basically. Somebody's all, you know, the school's like playing what? They're playing Thursday night football, Friday. Hey, remember they used to play Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And for some of the MAC schools play on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. And then Thursdays you get these, USA,
right.
AACs, you get all those conferences playing. That's how they get their chance to shine on television. So, it's outstanding to see these guys. But right now, boy, the Patriots are just dominating from the Patriots got a defense that's up there this season.
One final thing, and then we'll turn our attention to picks following this break here, John. Washington only 3 turnovers. Now, granted, they were coming off of a bye.
Bye week. Yeah.
There's one less game played than the Saints, but only 3 turnovers. Again, as we touched on, you know, it's Alex Smith doesn't push it downfield. Hard to get a pick if that doesn't happen. That's what Sean Payton had to say.
Well, they've been stingy. They're They're real good with the football. Alex is real sharp with the football. He protects it in the pocket well, and I think the ball security from the skill people have been good. And it's a small sample size. We're 3 weeks in, but certainly it stands out.
Well, the thing I told you today, I pulled up their offense and the defense, and both their offense and defense, because they are one game behind everybody, is it ranked high. Their defensive and their offense are both ranked, when I say high, let's just say 15 and up. Yeah, that's a good spot to be at. And they're in that. You know, so it just goes to show you, you know, you don't have to be top five. You know, guess who's like one of the best, and I'm shocked, is the Oakland Raiders are like in the top five in defense.
Right.
But they 1-3 or whatever their record. Yeah, 1-3. They won last week. So just goes to show you that, you know, stats, like you said, don't really mean anything. It's stats are for losers, I say.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, sometimes they can describe it. Right. Other times, you know, you can't, right, you know, see the whole picture out of it. When we come back, we'll do our picks. John Forkay and I will go over college games and pro games as the NFL. New week's underway. College football, new week's underway. We'll give you updates on those scores as well. All when we come back. It's the game night. Game time. John Forkay and Gus Cattingale on ESPN New Orleans. And nothing else
matters. Frank's Supermarket is focused on customer service, quality products, competitive prices, and specialized service to the offshore oil industry. Let Frank's catering department do the cooking for you. The bakery has fresh breads and rolls, sandwich trays made daily, veggie trays, chicken salad, homemade chili, cakes, and pies. Need catering for a wedding, bridal shower, funeral, corporate meeting, or home party? Call Frank's Supermarket today in La Rose, Golden Meadow, Lockport, and Des Almas. Online shopping now available at franksupermarket.com.
Join the winning team with Polar Auto Air in Houma. They service all RVs, mobile homes, including fifth wheel, campers, refrigerators, AC units, leveling systems, accepts all extended warranties and some factory warranties. They do work on AC automobiles, specializes in the repair and services for over 30 years. They specialize as an RVIA certified tech on recreational vehicles. Polar Auto Air, North Hollywood Road in Houma, 985-876-1934.
Napa know-how.
This week only, Napa Full Synthetic Motor Oil is on sale for just $2.99 a quart. Wait, what? $2.99? That's got to be wrong. Let me fact check that real quick here. Well, I'll be a minivan's uncle. The sludge-fighting, long-lasting protection of Napa Full Synthetic is just $2.99 a quart. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
General States pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer available July 1st through July 8th.
You're in the game with Gus Cattingale and John Forcade on 100.3 ESPN New Orleans. Shoot us a tweet at ESPN Radio NOLA.
Must be game time. Corey on Twitter says, Craig Robertson freed up Davis. He was on the field for both sacks. He's the reason the defense has played better the past 2 years. Craig Robertson.
Oh, I love Craig Robertson. But they got, like I said, we discussed this. You got too many people. You only can play three. Or four, whatever your scheme is.
Well,
and which ones do you do? So they keep them healthy. If they all understand that, they're going to be fine. The problem is the ones who bellyache because they ain't getting their reps, and it makes a big difference. And that's the problem you have. You want to go to the playoffs and make it to the Super Bowl? Let it go like these coaches are doing it. You want to be an individual? A guy named Mac for the Raiders who got traded? Or see, that's the problem. You know, think about the team. And that's the thing that the Saints have done so far, has been a team. So that's what it needs to be.
Before we do our picks, Joey has a little something that he wants you to hear.
Oh. Oops. That happens.
The computer went bye-bye.
Blame it on the computer.
All right, let's do it.
All right,
college,
folks.
College and pros.
We'll do the college first. Okay. I am down to you. You're 22 and 14. I'm 15 and 21. Okay. We'll go college here. And I got a little each pro in college. I picked a little extra star game because they got some good games this week. Tulane star right there. Tulane's at Cincinnati. Cincinnati's a -7 point favorite over Tulane. I'll let you go since you do a lot of work for Tulane. I'll let you pick this one.
Everything's telling me the Bearcats. I still think the Bearcats could win, but I would like to see if Tulane, maybe with the points, can do that. So I'm going to go
A
little wishful thinking now. I won't lie to you.
No, in all honesty, after what I saw this the other night, the Tulane Greenway, I'm like, man, they look good defensively. Right. They ran the ball well. Cincinnati didn't look very good. Had to come back from behind. They were down far enough. But guess what? I'm going to go against you because I got to catch up. And I'm going to take the Cincinnati Bearcats. All righty. So game two, Texas and Oklahoma. Right off the bat, Oklahoma 7-point favorite. It's the Red River game played in Dallas, which is always going to be a Texas home game.
You know
in
what? You know what Oklahoma's good for? One bad game.
True.
A year.
You think
does
it's
it happen
be
in this that's one? Though, that's think the problem here. Yeah. I don't know. Look, that Army game gives me reason and hope why I think Texas can win this. Army outgained Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I gotta believe that Herman's offense. Now again, is that a game that maybe Oklahoma didn't get up for? They're not used to seeing the wishbone and all, you know, the option football. I get that. Give me Texas.
All right, you got Texas. I'm gonna say I'm going with Oklahoma. Give up the points. I gotta go opposite to you. You know that.
Ooh.
Okay. Third game, Auburn, Mississippi State. Mississippi State's getting 3.5 at home.
What you got?
I'm going to go first on this one. I think Auburn will kill Mississippi State.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm waiting for that game where I go, that's why Auburn's a top 10 team. Aren't you kind of waiting for that game too?
I've been waiting for a long time. I don't see much.
And here's the other aspect of it. Mississippi State's had two very disappointing games in a row.
True. They're not that good. I mean, I don't think they are
that
good.
Give me the Bulldogs.
You go, oh, Georgia Bulldogs.
No.
I mean, Mississippi State Bulldogs.
Yeah. Same thing.
Yes. Next game up, Kentucky and A&M. Texas A&M. Texas A&M, 5.5-point favorite. Texas A&M at home. I'll go first again on this one. I think Texas A&M beats Kentucky. I think Kentucky's winning streak has got to end, and I think Texas A&M takes this one.
I almost think there's a little pressure on Jimbo Fisher here. Don't you think? I mean,
that game. You can't lose to Kentucky. That's it. You know. But
Do I go Wildcats?
5.5 points.
Do I go Wildcats?
Well,
they've been good.
Yes, they have.
Kentucky.
Give me Kentucky.
I think you go Kentucky.
Give me Kentucky. Yeah, this could be the week you catch me.
I'm going to catch somebody. Florida State versus Miami. This is a large point spread right here. Florida State's getting 13.5 points. I'm going to let you pick this one.
I think the Canes can whoop them.
You do?
Yeah. Dude, FSU's bad.
Yeah, they are. But
FSU.
I'm going to take Florida State.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
It's a lot of points.
Yep. What you taking?
Yeah.
Miami? Oh, you got Florida taking the points? You're taking Miami?
Yeah, give me Miami.
Ooh, I like it. We check. LSU in Florida, 2-point favorite. LSU's getting 2 points. I think LSU wins this game. I mean, I'm sorry. I just think Florida's so-so.
LSU.
Yeah, that's a smart play on your take, too. Mm-hmm. And a little throw me in there.
Okay.
See if we can change this up a little bit. Not have all 5 undefeated teams. Notre Dame, undefeated, goes to Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech is getting 7 points.
You know, give me Blacksburg Magic. Give me Blacksburg Magic. I don't know if they can pull it off. Something tells me, man, on a Saturday night, that could be something where Notre Dame has to sneak out of there with a win.
I'm going to take Virginia Tech with you. I just think Notre Dame is whatever. I think you talk about somebody can lose a game at any moment. Them, like Oklahoma, you said. All righty, there we go. Pro games. We're running down quick. Atlanta at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, 3-point favorite. I'm sorry, but I got to go Pittsburgh.
Dude, could you believe the Falcons might be 1-4?
Yes, sir.
But here's the thing with Pittsburgh, kind of the same thing. You got to show me what's up with you. Give me
sir.
Pittsburgh at home.
You got Pitt. All right, good. There you go, time, man. New York Giants go to Cincinnati. I'm sorry, Carolina. I apologize. Carolina. They play Carolina. Carolina's 5.5-point favorite at home versus the New York Giants.
Carolina.
I'm going to take the same thing. Carolina. Carolina takes care of the business at home. And third game, I got Jacksonville at Kansas City without Leonard Fournette. Kansas City's 3-point favorite
Kansas
at home.
City. Fournette not playing is going to hurt Jacksonville.
Yeah. KC myself, you got KC. Man. Okay, Oakland at the Chargers. Well, they're still in California, playing in L.A. 5-point favorite. The Chargers are favored over Oakland. I'll let you go first.
Give me the Chargers.
You're taking the Chargers? Yeah. I'm going to go with the Raiders. You know, I think they're going
to. It stinks. I got David Carr as my quarterback.
Gotcha. Minnesota's at Philadelphia. Philadelphia's 3-point favorite. I'll go first on this one. I think Minnesota wins this one.
Vikings. Yeah. Give me the Vikings on that. Mike Zimmer coming out this week going 2-2. We were 2-2 last year. We wound up 13-3. Right. So he's talking a lot of smack.
There you go. Washington at New Orleans. Saints.
I think they win by 10.
No, I do too. And then last but not least, big game. State of Texas, Dallas versus Houston. Houston, 3-point favorite.
Oh, man. That, you know, that might be the most disappointing team this season.
I'm going with Houston.
Did you think they'd be winless right now?
No, they won last week.
The Texans?
Texans. They won late in the game. Yeah, buddy. They won in three. Yeah,
well,
they won.
That's my point. I did. I changed the channel.
Okay. So you got Houston or Dallas?
Dallas.
You got Dallas. That's the only pick that you and I are opposite on.
Right.
But I'm going to catch you in the college games.
Yeah.
That's a wrap-up on pros in the colleges and the pros.
And in game one, I had to carry him most of the game, if not all of it. So my legs just, you know, weren't there in game two. But like LeBron, I made a trade in game two, and I figured I can go in a better direction. And then miraculously, he knows how to run.
I just wanted to prove that Gus is another sports guy.
Right. That was me and Dino took on two players on the Tulane women's basketball team.
Okay.
Yeah, we lost.
In basketball, huh?
Yeah, we didn't score.
Oh, okay, you didn't score?
We didn't score.
Yeah, that's an embarrassing.
Yeah, well,
I would not even let anybody know that. I played two girls and couldn't score.
We'll see you next Thursday
here.
The dock. Actually, no, we'll see you Monday.
Monday, I'll be
you
in Houma with
you.
You
and I will be in Houma. Clayton Holmes, Highway 311 will be there. So looking forward to it on Monday. So John Forkey and I will get you ready for the Saints game. So I'll see you after the weekend, buddy.
Yes, sir, Ray.
Thank
Enjoy
you,
your
Joey,
weekend.
As always. And thank you to everybody here at the dock. We'll be back here next Thursday. For now, see you tomorrow on ESPN New Orleans.
The Dock in Slidell is more than a restaurant. It's an experience that includes great food and drinks, a live music venue, beach volleyball, and more. And the sunsets at the Dock, well, they're memorable. With the beautiful waterfront scenery along Lake Pontchartrain, come experience it all at the Dock in Slidell while enjoying their famous seafood nachos or the classic shrimp.